Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell takes us on a journey to discover who Jesus Christ really is.
When Jesus comes again, will he find you as one that never lost hope, no matter how bad things got, no matter how much terrible legislation got passed, no matter how many wicked sins were done, no matter how much difficulty was on the earth, will he find you always praying, always looking, always believing? That's what Jesus is teaching us this morning. Don't give up the faith. Keep trusting.
Our view of Jesus affects the way we view God, the world, ourselves, and every one of our decisions. What we do with Jesus determines where we will spend eternity. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Person of Jesus, we will get a glimpse into the life of Christ. We will come face to face with the Savior. We will learn about His attributes, His character, and His love for all mankind. No one on earth has changed the face of history like the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Prevailing Prayer.
Last week we heard the Pharisees ask a very sarcastic question to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they asked Jesus, when is the coming of your kingdom? They asked this not because they believed he would bring his kingdom, but because they wanted to cast aspersion on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus was very succinct in his answer, and he let them know that the kingdom would come and that it would be a time of great wrath and a time of great judgment on those that were on this earth and were unbelieving when he came. He spoke of it in verse 30 of chapter 17 as the time when the Son of Man would be revealed. And we learned that that word was apocalypse. And we learned that it would be an apocalyptic time, this second coming, when Jesus would establish his kingdom. But we also learned that between the time that Jesus was on this earth and the time that his second coming would take place, he first would be crucified. And he then would ascend up into heaven where he would be with his Father until he returned again. And from that time until the time that he comes, this time in which we are living, the time that his disciples would also endure, there must be much prayer and there must be a focus on him until that time. And so it is in verse 1, he said that men ought always to pray in these in-between times, in these waiting times, that we should focus on the Lord and that we should seek Him in prayer. Today we learn how Israel, and later those of us who are the church saints, are to pray in the light of His coming and in the expectation of His soon return. And this morning I want you to learn with me three lessons in prayer for waiting Christians. Three lessons that God wants us to be mindful of as we look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, first of all, this morning, Jesus teaches us about persistence in prayer. And Jesus wants us to remember to continually come to Him and commune with Him in relationship and in prayer. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here we see the frequency of prayer. God says, I want you to always pray. The word ought speaks of necessity. It is used five different times in the New Testament to speak to the necessity of prayer this morning. Men of necessity should always pray. Did you know there is never a wrong time to pray? You can pray at any time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And so it is. God says, while you anticipate my coming, I want you to always be in communion with me. Men ought always to pray. We go back to the time before the advent of Christ. We go back to the early moments of the first century when people were awaiting Messiah. And we find people then praying as well. One in particular was named Anna. And Anna was a widow that was in the temple waiting and praying for Messiah. She was not anticipating his second coming. She was anticipating his first coming. And the Bible tells us in Acts 2:37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. As Anna never quit praying for the first coming, we should never quit praying for the second coming and praying as we await his second coming. Anna was praying night and day, oh, that the Messiah would come. Oh, that Messiah would come. And no doubt she gave her burdens to Messiah in prayer. And as we await the second coming, we ought always to pray. And so it is that prayer brings the blessing and communion and fellowship and power of God. Charles Spurgeon, the great British expositor, often had visitors that would come to his church, and they would ask, how is this church so blessed? And what is it specifically about the Metropolitan Tabernacle of London that God has blessed? Spurgeon would often take his guest and take them around the side of the church and down into the basement of the church, and there they would see hundreds and hundreds of people on their knees in prayer. And Spurgeon was often heard to point to that crowd of people in prayer, and he would say, there is the powerhouse of the church. You see, when we work. But when we pray, God works. And so it was that in the life of our Lord Jesus, he taught men to pray. We see the frequency of prayer, but we also see the failure of prayer. When does prayer fail? Well, I want you to know, prayer does not fail unless we fail to pray. So look at verse 1. It says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint means to become spiritless. It means to be wearied out, to lose courage. And sometimes I meet Christians like that, and they just get tired, and they just get spiritless, and they're wearied out, and they cease to pray. And when they cease to pray, then God's blessings cease to flow. You see, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a picture of that. Jesus was praying. No doubt, the Bible tells us he was praying with great drops of blood coming from his brow. He was experiencing the burden of carrying our sins on the cross. No doubt, he was concentrating on the separation of fellowship with the Father and all that would happen at Calvary. And Jesus, while he was praying, also had his disciples with him. And in Matthew 26, in verse 40, it says, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, Jesus, oftentimes I believe, looks at the church and he says, what? Couldn't you pray one time? Couldn't you pray 1 hour? Couldn't you talk to me a little more than that? You see, there is failure when we faint, but there is victory when we are faithful. When we are faithful to pray, there is victory even in the relationship with God, in the communion with God, not merely in the answers to prayer. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Did you catch the last few words there? If we faint not. God is calling on men and women this morning to be prayer warriors, not of those that would fall back, not those that would go AWOL, but those that would pray and pray and not faint. Isaiah 40 and 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, there is power and there is sustenance for those who walk, for those who wait on the Lord. Spurgeon said, if anyone should ask me of the epitome of the Christian religion, I should say it in one word. It is prayer. It is learning to pray, to talk to God. We see the frequency of prayer. Men ought always to pray. We see the failure of prayer is when we become spiritless and lose courage and do not pray. But notice thirdly this morning, the fervency of prayer. God wants to tell you and tell me this morning how fervent we should be in prayer. And he gives an illustration of it. And it's found in verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, Jesus is admonishing us to continually come to him. And he is showing us how fervently he wants us to do that by giving us the parable of this woman who comes, first of all, to an uncaring judge. And the Bible says there in verse number 2 of this judge that he feared not God, neither regarded man. I don't know about you. I don't think that's the kind of judge I want to hang around with. He said, I don't care what you think. I don't even care what God thinks. He was an uncaring judge. And we see before him, there was a pleading woman. The Bible refers to her in verse 3 as a widow woman, not only without a husband, but also deficient of her physical needs, also no doubt suffering. And we don't know exactly what this judge was hearing. We don't know exactly what she was going through. Maybe someone was bearing down on her with taxes. Maybe someone was raising her rent. Maybe someone had been unkind in another way. We do not know. We just know that she was saying, Lord, to the judge, avenge me, make this right. And help me. And the Bible says in verse 4 that for a while, he said within himself that after a while, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet this, because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her. The words there for a while speak of a good time. Quite a time had elapsed. And yet this woman kept coming. And she kept coming. And she kept coming to the judge. Now, the Bible is using this as an illustration because God is telling us, don't be weary in your prayers. Come to me and come with importunity. In fact, notice in your notes, Luke chapter 11 and verse 8, the Bible says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I want you to notice a word there in Luke 11 and verse 8. It's the word importunity. We don't say that word a lot, but let's say that together this morning. Ready to begin. Importunity. One more time. You see, in that parable in Luke 11, Jesus said, the neighbor wasn't going to answer the door, but because you kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, finally the neighbor answered the door. And because the widow kept asking and asking and asking, finally the judge answered the request. And Jesus said, I want you to stay in constant communion with me, asking and bringing your need and bringing your need. And men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I want to hear from you. And so we see here that there is an uncaring judge and there's a pleading woman. But finally, we see the relenting judge in verse 5. He said, listen, she's troubled me enough by her continually coming to me. And he said, I'm going to answer her prayer. You see, persistent prayer is an enduring evidence of faith. Let me say that again. Persistent prayer is an enduring evidence of faith. And what I want you to understand, because someone might say, well, what is this? God playing a game with us? He wants me to just keep coming to him and asking him and asking him. And I want you to recognize it's more than that. It is the evidence when you pray that you believe in God and that you believe Hebrews 11, 6, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And God is looking today for a people that will come to him, not just using God as the spare tire, but using God and coming to God in the sense, not as a spare tire, but in a constant communion relationship with him, seeking his face continually. D.L. Moody said, some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is to not come at all. You see, God wants to hear from you. And how much more does he exercise that thought with us than by telling us, like a neighbor that won't stop knocking, like a widow that won't stop asking, I want you to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming to me. So we see the persistence in prayer. But notice, secondly, the patience in prayer. Now, as we pray, it is required that we patiently trust God. Notice, if you would, in verse 6 of our text, it says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now notice the patience that God wants us to have in prayer. Sometimes in prayer you may grow weary. You may feel like your prayers are not getting above the ceiling. You may feel like the prayers are not heard. And let me tell you something, that is the lie of the devil when you feel that way. But God wants us to have patience as we pray. Let me give you a few reasons why. First, because of the heart of God. Because of His heart. Notice in verse 7, the Bible says, "And shall not God avenge His own elect?" He says, "I'm going to avenge. If this uncaring judge finally listened, shall not I also avenge or take care of or make things right?" The term "His elect" is spoken of here as the chosen of Israel. Also, it is a term that is used for those of us who are the saved. And here we see that God is telling us, if an uncaring judge loves his own, how much more would I love my own? Gabelein said in his commentary, the point of the verse is that God patiently listens to His elect as they pray in their continuing distress, waiting for the proper time to act on their behalf. God, in His heart and wisdom, hears every prayer, and in His heart and wisdom knows when the prayer is to be answered and how the prayer is to be answered. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." God did not immediately answer the prayer request of the Thessalonians, but with patience they endured, and through their tribulations they were faithful. And sometimes between the time we start asking God for something and the time He answers the prayer, He's doing a great improving job in your life. You know, a lot of times when I pray to God, if I'm praying for someone that has a specific need and I'm praying about a particular problem, I want God to do a removing job. I want God to remove that problem. But oftentimes along the way, God is not as interested in a removing job as He is in an improving job. And what I've learned from the time I start praying for something till the time that God answers it in His way, I've become a lot stronger Christian in the process. If you're with me, say amen this morning. Amen. That's why we must patiently endure in our prayer. It's not just about the answer. It's about the making of a man of God or a woman of God in the process of trusting God through prayer. You see, there is a contrast that is given to us here. The contrast is that if an unloving judge would answer a prayer, how much more will our loving Father answer the prayer? Matthew 7:11. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things to ask of Him?" And so we patiently ask Him because we trust the heart of God. Secondly, because of the work of God. We know that God is always at work. Now look at verse 7 of our text this morning. It says, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" Let me tell you about the work of God. First, He hears our cry. He hears our cry. Psalm 62 and verse 8, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in Him at all times." He hears your cry. And not only that, He bears with your cry. Notice in verse 7, it says, "Though He bear long with them." Interesting, that word, bear long. It is macrothumo, and it speaks about a thermos that takes a long time to boil. God is long-suffering, and He boils often and long, bears often and long with us, and He bears with our cry. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish." Someone says, "But I've been praying, and it seems like it's not getting answered." Remember that God's timetables are not our timetables. And so here we see that God will hear our cry, and we understand that God will bear with our cry. And then God, in His time, will respond to our cry. Notice in verse 8 what the Bible says, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily." He will avenge them speedily. In other words, when God is ready to answer a prayer, He has the power to perform it in His time. And so we must patiently wait on the heart of God. We must patiently wait on the work of God. And then letter C, we must patiently wait because of the plan of God. We serve a God who has an ultimate timetable The Bible says, for example, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law." In other words, according to God's timetable, Jesus came the first time. And by the way, I believe there's a day marked on the calendar in heaven when the trumpet will sound and God will come the second time. And everything in between is according to his timetable. He is not a God of accidents. So in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh," when that calendar date comes, when he comes, "shall he find faith on the earth?" Now here we see chapter 18 tying back to chapter 17 when they said, "When's your kingdom coming?" And Jesus said, "First, I must be delivered in the hands of men, and I must be crucified, and I must ascend up into heaven. But when I come again," Jesus said, here's the question, "will there be faith on the earth? Will men and women still be praying? Will they still be trusting me? Will they still be looking for me? Will they be trusting in my plan? Will I find there, under my examination, people that have a heart still for me and for my kingdom?" And as he responds to the Pharisees' question, he simply reminds them, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, let's read that portion, that second portion of verse number 8 together. Ready, begin. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" One more time. "Nevertheless..." Now that's referring to the second coming and the establishing of the kingdom. But just for the moment, for those of us who look for the blessed hope or the rapture, as we learned last week, when the Lord comes again, will he find people believing and praying and trusting and looking? And will he find faith on the earth, or will he find faith in our hearts when he comes again? You see, Jesus is saying, "Listen, don't try to trip me up on the exact date of my kingdom. What I want to know is, are you going to be fervently believing when I come? Will you have faith when I come?" I heard about some Kansas farmers that were going through a terrible drought. It hadn't rained for several years. Kind of sounds like Lancaster to me a little bit. They decided that they would have a prayer meeting, and all the farmers came in, and they were all dusting themselves off and taking their hats off as they came into church, and several dozen of them came in with their families. And as they got ready to pray, they looked over by the door and they saw a little girl who had come into the church, and she came in with two things, her Bible and her umbrella. She was expecting God to work. She was believing that God was able. Hey, when Jesus comes again, will he find you with your Bible and your umbrella believing all the time that he was going to come? Will he find you as one that never lost hope, no matter how bad things got, no matter how much terrible legislation got passed, no matter how many wicked sins were done, no matter how much difficulty was on the earth? Will he find you always praying, always looking, always believing? That's what Jesus is teaching us this morning. Don't give up the faith. Keep trusting. Keep looking. Keep watching. There must be persistence in prayer. There must be patience in prayer. And then I want you to see finally this morning, there must be a perspective in our prayer.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry.
Sometimes it can be hard to tell what makes Christian college valuable to you. When you consider a college, it's important to choose a place that will nurture your faith the most. West Coast Baptist College is a four-year Bible college dedicated to training men and women for a life of ministry in local churches around the world. If you are interested in Bible college, or if you know someone who is, visit our website today at wcbc.edu.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today.
Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.